Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and yes, we are here to encourage you. Listen, there's a lot of conversations going on, but our conversation is in a way that we want to give you hope and let you know there's a future and that God's plans for you are good. He has plans to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years bad government has taken away. And joining me this morning to encourage you is the one, the man, the Ed McMahon of VFN TV and VFN Radio, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Also joining us this morning, our guest, all the way almost from Pittsburgh, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good morning.
Be encouraged out there in the virtual stadium. I want to thank all of our partners, those that are helping us fill the virtual stadium. Your gifts and your prayers are making a huge difference. Every day, people are coming and our audience is growing and growing and growing. We're looking, it's exciting just to see what's happening. And it's happening because we're standing together. We believe there's hope for our country. And the hope is Jesus Christ. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And this morning, our guests are always exciting guests, encouraging guests, with a strange hat on this morning. Steve Kalaszewski.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here we are, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. That's a hat you're going to need in Pittsburgh, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold up there. Or hair.
Yeah. I mean,
you got hair.
Well, I cut it short, and I remember I actually saw it, and I actually thought of Brother John. And I saw the hat, and I'm like, oh, my
goodness. You
cut it
again? Is it that short?
Yeah, yeah. I went back, and
Whoa.
I felt good. Like, that's like the normal. Like, this is like,
What happened? Was it like the lawnmower accident?
I've tried. Every time I get my hair cut, I'm like, okay, this time I'm going to grow it out. I'm going to go back to it being past my ears. And then as soon as it touches my ears, I'm like, get it off.
Get it off quick.
And I cut it. And then as soon as I get it cut, I'm like, oh, I can breathe again. And then I realize, I'm like, ooh, it's gonna be cold.
You're talking about your nose and your nose hair. Breathing. You're talking about your hair on your head. I'm like, breathe. How can you can't breathe?
I don't know. I'm talking
about the hair on your head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You're still claustrophobic.
Exactly. I'm just like, something is not right. I just feel like something's just smothering me.
It's a deliverance issue.
Yes. Trying to work on that. Lord, help me to love you. Help me to love you.
I was fine until I had hair. It was just, suffering for Jesus. It does, you know, once you get that haircut, you know, it's amazing how it's just like, I remember when I got out of the military and I went into law enforcement, I still had the gig line thing going on.
Yep.
You know, and
the what?
Gig line is not, for fishermen, it's not about where you go out and fish. But a gig line is where your collared shirt. And the line of your shirt that goes down with your buttons lines up with your belt buckle and your zipper, and everything has to be straight down.
Oh.
Gig line. You know, you just do it. You don't think about it. And I remember some of my deputy friends.
Nope.
There's no gig lines with t-shirts.
I don't think you've ever experienced a gig line before.
I don't think so.
You have a blouse line.
Oh, that's funny.
You have to have washboard abs like me.
Right. That's what it is.
You get inspected for it.
Right.
You get inspected. Your gig line's off, so it has to line up. Well, you just naturally do it after a while. And so I'm coming into the muster room with you feel like awkward if your gig line's going straight.
Right. Everybody sees that you're.
And I thought, because at that time everybody was smoking in there, so I didn't think you could even see me with all the smoke in the muster room. It was amazing.
Yeah, right.
I'm talking about secondhand smoke. I had like fifth hand smoke. Every training film was about somebody smoking, I guess, because you couldn't see the training film. You just like smoke between there and that. It was amazing. Isn't that crazy?
Right, right.
That's totally amazing. And of course, I used to smoke, and God just totally just delivered me from it. If you want to get free from smoking cigarettes, ask God. I was a deputy and God, I want to be free from this.
Mm-hmm.
And just told myself I don't smoke anymore. And God was faithful. I don't smoke.
Amen.
And Lord, I couldn't imagine how bad I'd be gasping now. What did he do? He just tied his shoes. That's all it was. And it's just thank God, you know. So if you're struggling with that you need to get free. I mean, think about it. You're taking in pollution and throw it in your lungs. You know, you don't need to do that because, you know, you're going to need your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Believe
mm-hmm.
me, because you're going to gain weight over years. And then have a lot of things pressing on your lungs. So the little bit they do open up, you're going to need that little 5 ounces of air right now. God can, you know, set you free from all kinds of addictions and things. That guy, somebody says, well, I'm mm-hmm. not addicted. I've been smoking 25 years. I'm not addicted yet. And you know, God can set you free. I'm hoping to get a chance to talk about, you know, what church, the definition of the word and vocabulary. But I want to talk about, you know, this word from that was given by Chuck Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, they're going to be talking about it, about our president prior to, remember, we've gotten words mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. that President Barack Obama would be the president before he became president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew because God let us know that he would be president. We even knew some of the decisions that he would make before he made them.
Mm-hmm.
And because God let, you know, us know about, you know, prophetically about right. some things that will be taking place. And we've shared those things. And what's interesting, you know, is what we're about to hear here. And we'll talk about, you know, throughout it as Chuck Pierce is sharing a word, and he's being interviewed here, but you got to hear, you know, Chuck Pierce from Zion Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how we need to pay attention because we're in that zone right now, that mm-hmm. word. And we need to know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So I want you to hear this and listen up.
Is in 2005, you heard a word about the president of the United States. What did you hear? And I know, and by the way.
And you have to understand, this is Sid Roth that's interviewing Chuck Pierce. And he's like, what was this word that you heard? He's asking him, what did this word that you heard in 2005? And that's when they went from state to state with Dutch Sheets. Mm-hmm. But listen up.
This was documented. This isn't just he said it after the fact. In 2005, what did you hear?
Well, we were traveling across every state in America, Dutch Sheets and I, and we had gone across Alabama from Birmingham to Montgomery. In Montgomery, we were in a large church, Kyle Searcy's church, and while we were there, the Spirit of God came down and said, you prophesy that the next president will be a black man. And an Afro-American would become the next president in America.
Are you hearing that? 2005, God was already letting his people know that our next president would be an African-American president. For all the people out there that are speaking against our president, and understand that God had, this is an ordained moment. He's God's set man for what's taking place. And God was letting us know, and Chuck Pierce know, and others know that Barack Obama would mm-hmm. be the next president.
Right.
So listen up.
Yeah.
Now, that took, we Jewish people have a word, it's called chutzpah, nerve. That took chutzpah, Chuck.
It really did. It really did to be that specific, because I knew that by 2008, that would be able to be tracked.
And the thing that's interesting to me is that he realized when an African-American would become president of the United States, but he knew it way back then, that the curse from slavery would be neutralized, but as you put it, the roots would not be dealt with. Now, if a curse is neutralized, and let's not get into it yet, but the basic root of the curse is not dealt with, what's the repercussion?
Well, if the basic root isn't dealt with, Sid, it's going to rise up and it's going to produce a different type of fruit. Not the fruit that we were normally used to seeing, but the root will come alive again. Now, the root of all slavery is anti-Semitism.
This is very important what he's talking about here, because so we focus normally about people's prejudices against us, you know, and the root of racism is anti-Semitism, and anti-Semitism is, you know, hatred towards the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you hear the, I almost wish that we wouldn't use the word anti-Semitic because today's generation doesn't really
know what that means. I didn't for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And it's kind of like we just need to say, you know, it's people hating Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so understanding that the root of anti-Semitism is the root of racism.
Mm-hmm.
And let me pull this up here. I want to be able to just give you the exact word for it here, the definition for it before we move on. So we have that grasp. It's discrimination against or prejudice or hostility towards Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So when...
Right.
Wow. That's just... it just kind of just opens up your eyes to so much that you don't even think about knowing the fact that that actually has a connection. And you wonder where so much of it came from, because just like what Pat was saying is the fact that I had never known what anti-Semitism was. And you hear many people say it, or you're watching a video or a documentary or something, mm-hmm. and anti-Semitism, and you're like, oh, okay. And you're kind of shaking your head, and all the while you're looking around like, does anybody else not know what anti-Semitism is? Because I have no idea what this is. And there's so much in our own history that you think about where racism was prevalent, and many people have been and were affected by that. And it's not something that we can glaze over and not acknowledge or think that it wasn't significant, because it's very significant.
But the, you know, the thing about the root, you got to deal with the root of something. That's what he's going to talk about here.
Yeah.
So when you see the Palestinians hating the Jews, when you see Ahmadinejad standing in front of the United Nations and speaking against the Jews, that's anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is defined as discrimination against or prejudice or hostility towards Jews. Listen, we are not going to get rid of racism in America until we get back and repent for the anti-Semitism that has taken place. The church has taken place in the context of that. But listen up.
Linked with the concept of mammon. And so one of the things that I was seeing was God was going to deal with the slavery issue that had divided America. But the root issue of anti-Semitism would then arise, and I believe the Lord showed me within 3 years.
Now, in 2005...
It's so important because, you know, within 3 years of President Barack Obama being selected as the president, then there would be this rise of anti-Semitism. And this is God's telling him this, you know, before it's happened, before he's president. And then in 2008, it would happen. And in 2011, specifically, he's going to talk about May of 2011. And so we have to pay attention. We got to pay really close attention, because there's something God's revealing to us that we need to get healed in our lives and our response. And you know, when you think about it, you think about when you hear us talk about, hey, you know, we are connected with Christians United for Israel. It's called KUFI, as you can you can see. And you know, make sure KUFI is on VFNTV.com for all of our crew to know that you can connect as well. But also, that's America's response. And I was listening to news program in Germany, DW, that I talked about, and they're interviewing the Palestinians. What a concept.
Wow.
What a concept. You know, our media wouldn't even think about interviewing them. And they're talking, and when they were bringing up the fact about Israel, and they said, but, you know, this thing's never going to work out, because two-state solution is not going to work out, because you hate Israel,
right?
Basically.
Right.
Everything, you know, you're saying you're going to annihilate them. You're going to destroy them. You want to do away with them. They're not going to, you know, that's just not going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
That was so refreshing to hear. It's like, oh, my sanity.
Wow.
You know, and understanding, as long as they're anti-Semitic, why would the Jews invite death into, you know, the whole situation? Mm-hmm. And so the person responds is like, well, actually the thing is, you guys need to blend into with citizenship in Israel and function in the context of the society that's there. That's probably the best thing for you guys to do. But you have to give up your political power. And it's like, excuse me? He's like, right. You know, well, that won't happen. And yeah. The thing is because it's anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. But so to support the Palestinians who are stoning and killing the Israeli Defense Force, the soldiers that are blowing things up, that are wearing bulletproof vests, that are contending against the Jews and saying to support Ahmadinejad who, in Iran, the president of Iran and the Ayatollah and all they're doing, saying we want to annihilate Israel from the face of the earth in any form or fashion. If you stand in support of them, you have a anti-Semitic spirit that's blinded you to the fact that you can't stand against the Jewish people and think that we're not going to be delivered mm-hmm. from a spirit of racism in mm-hmm. our land. But listen up.
Slavery issue that had divided America, but the root issue of anti-Semitism would then arise, and I believe the Lord showed me within 3 years.
Now, in 2005, God told you something that you had a lot of chutzpah to say, that there would be an African-American president. In 2008, you received a word of what this this president that will be in office, obviously it's Barack Obama, would do that would dramatically affect our nation 3 years later in May of 2011.
Understand this. Now, God's saying in advance what was going to happen in May of 2011. Mm-hmm. May of 2011, you know, God even nailed the month that it would take place. So understand these are happening like clockwork, which means we got to pay attention as the church, you know, and God's wanting to, well, it looks like it's horrifically bad and things are going to be bad, but it's just revealing. It's revealing things that we need to get healed from, things we mm-hmm. need to deal with in our own culture.
Nation 3 years later in May of 2011. Tell me about
it. Well, Sid, what was happening was when he had yet even been nominated, and yet I knew because of what God had said who was going to be nominated. But that wasn't the issue, because remember, God was going to heal this issue that of the division from racism in our nation. But it was going to actually get a little worse for us because we were going to have to go deeper and deal with anti-Semitism. And what God showed me, he caught me up. He gave me an incredible vision. We were at the Liberty Park. I was doing a big meeting there. I was a guest speaker. It was a meeting of 1,500 people. And the Lord caught me up and began to show me 3 years in advance what would happen and how he would start looking at America based upon how America would align with Israel.
This is so important because the question before us now in America, now this is previous, this is, you understand, this is not somebody looking at the news going, hey, we have an issue here between America and Israel. The whole question to America right now is we're being confronted with is this question. How will we align ourselves with Israel? Which is exciting for the context of there's hope for America if we'll align ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, if we will align ourselves and get God's perspective of Israel and understand what's going on. And Israel's really easy to love when you understand what God did for you as a Christian. Mm-hmm. Very easy to love, despite anything. They're easy to love in the context of that. And if we don't align ourselves right, it's going to determine, both of them are going to determine our destiny.
That's right.
And so what's before us now, God said very specifically to Chuck Pierce that this day was going to be coming. And here it is, 3 years into it, and this is exactly what's taking place. But listen up.
And that this president would then come back and start pulling Israel and be a tremendous advocate to pull Israel out of its current progression in restoration back to the state of where it was before it actually began its new boundaries and new progress.
So that is so exciting because even though it looks like it's really bad, that God is resetting America and how we respond to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that prophetically, it looks like even though we're going to go through this turmoil, it's getting revealed. As a matter of fact, when I saw the president speak at United Nations, he came out in defense of Israel. And wow. But he came out, and it's sort of like the bumper stickers that says every God on the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, at least he mentioned Israel, mm-hmm. and that they have a right to defend themselves. President Bill Clinton openly said last night on CNN during an interview that he does not trust Iran or Ahmadinejad, and mm-hmm. that there is no undermindedness coming from Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, and that they have to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's no comparison with Iraq compared to Iran regards to weapons of mass destruction, because the first thing is they're making it public. Their centrifuges are there. They mm-hmm. turned down every opportunity to do it the right way, and they chose not to do it that way. And so it seems like, you know, you start hearing the chatter is, listen, these guys are not going to line up. These religious extremists here, you know, their goal is to do harm and do damage. Listen, Israel's going to stand. So, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they may limp a little bit. They're going to stand.
That's right.
Know? And President Bill Clinton's married to the Secretary of State, and they're pretty tight with the current president. And he said if Iran were to shoot a weapon, if they were to shoot a weapon or get a weapon, that them and their people and everything would be annihilated, because the Middle East are not going to sit there and allow, you know, because you got Jordan and you mm-hmm. got Saudi mm-hmm. Arabia, yeah, you got Turkey, you got, right. you know what I'm saying? They're not going to let that happen. And it's like a wild man with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they would just be totally annihilated. So they have to make the decision. That's where the enemies really just, you know, deceive them and thinking that the God that they're serving would say that's a good thing to create chaos, and it brings back the 30 mon or whatever. And mm-hmm. and it's like, but that's what they, you know, they believe that chaos right. is how he comes back, chaos and mass bloodshed. And so, but that's what would happen. We wouldn't even have Iran anymore.
Right.
And it seems like from what President Clinton was saying, but he kind of held back from saying too much since what his wife was. But listen, this is encouraging, because prophetically, this word came before, mm-hmm. well before he was president, well before anybody thought he was going to be president. We also had a word that he was going to be president, and some other things happened that God mm-hmm. showed us. But I'm really concerned about the things that are going on. But understand this, that our perspective towards Israel is very, very important, and we're finding out here. Let's listen up.
In effect, when President Barack Obama made the proclamation in May, which you knew 3 years from
May. It was very specific. It would be May 2011.
Whoa. And the proclamation was Israel should go back to its pre-67 borders. When President Barack Obama made that proclamation, what happened in the invisible world to America?
It pulled us back into the progress we had made spiritually.
Think about that. That as soon as our president made the statement that Israel needs to go back to the 1967 lines, which are indefensible borders, and it's basically it's destruction of Israel. You just can't defend it.
Right.
And with that, as soon as he made that proclamation, that means that what he's about to explain in detail is that we go back to the 60s ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We step back into where that's being anti-Semitic, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's being against the Jews in saying what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And because the enemy is around Israel, and you know, to be able to bring their borders back is to give the enemy closeness to Israel, to be able to, its indefensible borders.
Right.
Which means now racism is going to rise up in America, because the root of racism is anti-Semitism.
Right.
And so we're not going to deal with racism's surface until we deal with the root of racism, which is anti-Semitism.
Mm.
And the 60s were horrific, but he's going to explain, you know, what was talking about here.
See, when you make a declaration
like that.
So did
it affect racism
even? It will cause racism to rise up back to 1967.
Whoa.
See, it's going to cause things, but see, if God's not in time, so it will be in this age. It won't look like it was pre-1967. it will cause our nation to begin to have to process this age with that demonic structure that we've already warred through in measure. See, covenant, all nations reconcile around Israel. So if you're attempting to bring and being the proponent or voice to bring Israel back into a place where it is not progressing, but back where it loses a lot of what it's already warred for, you're going to do the same thing in your own freedom.
Do you see a correlation of the following events?
That's so important because, wherever we put Israel, if we put them, imagine being on the football field and Israel's at the, first and 10 on the 20-yard line, and you take the ball and you take, say, we're going to move it from the 20-yard line, which means 20 yards to make a touchdown then to score.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the football and you move it to the 30-yard line, and now you're first and 20. They got to go 20 yards to be able to score, right, a first down. But then you're also 30 yards. You have to actually go to be able to score a point, score a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying at whatever point you move Israel's ball, you're going to be moved back personally.
Right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
You're going to be moved back personally. So that means that, as soon as we heard our president make that proclamation, and it just seems like the strategies of God, we had to be, we've been taking everything so just asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this is checking us. All this is checking the church,
right?
It's beginning by faith. I'm saying to wake up,
right?
And it means that you get set back as mm-hmm. far as you set their football back, your football gets set back. And he's talking about back to the 1967 lines, which means that we go back into the attitudes of anti-Semitism or its fruit, which is racism that we experienced in America back in the 60s. But listen up.
It's already warred for, you're going to do the same thing in your own freedom.
Do you see a correlation of the following events? Right after President Barack Obama made that statement in Joplin, Missouri, we were hit with the deadliest tornado, the deadliest in 70 years. Do you see a correlation?
Well, see, actually, you had Alabama. Again, we're back to Alabama, and then you had Missouri. Both had deadly, deadly tornadoes. Alabama, I just came from there last weekend here. Alabama went into, lost almost 400 people, and then Joplin lost a whole city. I mean, almost a whole city wiped aside. Do I see a correlation? Yes, I see it releases a spiritual force that brings God, because I believe God controls the wind. And I believe biblically, from a prophetic standpoint, we see that winds can be adverse and controlled by the enemy, or winds can be sent by the Lord. I believe the enemy structure came into this land. And now what God's going to ask us to do now, we're coming into a place where we're going to have to war for our covenant alignment and the roots of the covenant of this land coming back into alignment with the God of Israel.
About it, we're going to begin war. And this was the original word. If you go back and you listen to watch VFN TV or, listen to VFN radio, go to VFN Torch, that's what we've been talking about, that we have to battle again. And that's why you hear us talk about original intent all the time. The original intent of our founding fathers, the original intent of America, the original intent of the church, because we got to get back to our roots, and this is founded on a Judeo-Christian values and the direction and the Torah. I mean, everything, this whole country was established on that, and they're trying to undermine it and undo it, but it's causing the church to wake up, and that's why we're here with VFN TV and VFN Radio, because we want to be able to tell you and walk with you and encourage you. And when God begins to birth a new thing or reestablish a former thing that has gone away, that you cannot tie what he is doing, the new thing, with the old thing. You have to let it go. If it wasn't working, if it's not working, quit, trying to, do something with it. Just go, well, that was nice for a season, you know, right. And talk well about it and mm-hmm. honor it. But then follow God,
mm-hmm.
you know, follow God and realize that we can, if we respond to what God is saying right now, and that's why we're sharing this prophetic word. So you can, we can all together go, you know what? I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to respond mm-hmm. a right way to what's going on. We got to get back to our roots again.
Right.
Listen up.
You have so many revelations. Do you see a correlation right after President Barack Obama released those words into the atmosphere that Israel should go back to the pre-67 borders? Do you see a correlation with what happened to the president of the IMF, International Monetary Fund?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And by the way, this was the man that was caught attacking a maid in a hotel room and lost everything as a result of it.
See, all of a sudden, and it just wasn't Barack Obama. You can go back to President Bush when he made certain statements that created a movement in the atmosphere during the time of Katrina, the hurricane that hit America. And came up through New Orleans, you're going to start seeing a correlation. Why? Because there's certain scripture that talks about how we are in the process when we won't listen to the voice of God. He has ways of speaking. He has ways of getting our attention.
Now, here's some good news. There are ways that you can be like the children of Israel when they were slaves and the curses came on the Egyptians and they bypassed the Jewish people.
This is so important because, and I'm not understanding God's perspective that, and this is what we talk about, there's safety in abiding with God. He that abides under the wings of the Lord God Almighty is going to be protected against all these different things. And so we're talking about abiding. That's what we're talking about.
Right.
You know, and that under the blood of Jesus Christ and knowing that if the blood of Jesus is applied to the doorpost of your heart, you know, and you have to understand there's so many different variations of not
mm-hmm.
walking with God, but yet claiming to walk with God in America. You got to get mm-hmm. to the real deal.
Right.
It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but it's definitely not as irreverent, you know, as a lot of things are being done now in America.
Right.
But it's just walking humbly, authentically, and dependently, you know, with God and walking with those who are walking with God. And there's protection in that, which is just very encouraging because remember, our peace in the midst of the chaos means you're going to be protected. You know, if you, it's like you would tell your child, you say, listen to me. If you listen to me, it's going to work out for you.
Right.
You know, and you know, if the child says, I'm not going to listen, then you know what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do when God says, our Father God goes, listen to me, what are we going to say?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's because, you know, we're not juvenile anymore, right?
That's right.
Right? Yeah. And so, you know, understanding that we can actually, you know that, because the difficulty is not somebody who doesn't understand, a child who doesn't understand yet that the father or the mother has lived life, and if they're Christians, they're abiding with God, and they know what simple wisdoms are.
Mm-hmm.
If you touch the fire, you're going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't trust the fact that their father truly knows what he's talking about until later on, and they go, you know, you are so smart. I didn't realize that, you know, as they're limping in the room.
Yeah.
and now as we can trust God, we can say, you know what, I'm going to trust God. When he tells me this is what mm-hmm. he says, is what I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust him. And so listen up, talking about the protection, what's coming, on what we're seeing coming and what's coming, and we've been talking about it, but there's protection for those who are God's.
And there's ways of you can get out of the mess that's coming. In fact, Chuck Pierce saw what will happen over the next 5 years in the United States of America.
That's the next five years now.
I have a question for you, Chuck. You see a division of the states in the United States. And will this be the issue that will release the judgment of God on some states and have other states walk in blessings? Explain this.
See, Sid, I think God is a God of restoration. He wants to restore us back to his original covenant plan. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He wants the blessings of heaven to align with earth. He wants us to produce the garden that he intended in the earth realm. But in the midst of it, I think we rebel against that. And with that, in America, the real issue is going to be each state's relationship with Israel. not just a nation relating to Israel, but each state. I think you will start seeing how states are blessed based upon their relationship with Israel. Right now, Texas, for instance, has an economy that's growing. Texas has made a proclamation that it is aligned with Israel. You'll see its economy shift differently than other economies.
And now I'm even seeing countries based on their position with Israel.
This is so important, you know, talking about the United States, that you want to find out what your state government, how they stand with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I think about the state of Florida, you know, mm-hmm. that I got a chance to meet Rick Scott before he was going to be governor, and I asked him some questions, very specific questions, and about his Christian faith, and mm-hmm. he gave me his testimony and what his plans were and all that. And I wanted to know what his stance are on certain particular things. But I'm looking right here. One of Governor Scott's first things that he did, you know, one of the main things that he had done is he went to Israel, and he went to the Western Wall. I'm looking at pictures of him praying at the Western Wall, He went to Israel.
Wow.
And,
awesome.
Man, you should have seen what the Pennsylvania governor did. Oh my goodness. I'm just joking. Just joke. A little humor. You definitely want to write your state legislature and whoever your representatives are, if they're not standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he went there, he prayed at the Western Wall, and I believe he was working on trade agreements, and he met with several of the leaders there, and it was pretty cool because, you know, when you see your governor, the first thing that he's doing is he's going, or she's going,
mm-hmm.
and building that relationship with Israel because he wanted to bring jobs in and all. And just pretty cool when you see, look at him right here, he's praying at the Western Wall. And... isn't that cool?
Oh, wow. Check that out.
That's right. We were standing right there. Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
And they're reading the Torah to him. He's laying down the reef. And we'll make these available to you on the VFN Torch. Don't forget, you can get everything that we're talking about quite often mm-hmm. on your highlights area of your on your app and your iPads, but also at the VFN Torch right there.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that you know, how your state relates is very important. How they relate to Israel. And let's take it a little step further than that.
Mm-hmm.
How are you relating to Israel?
Right.
You know, if you are not standing with them, if you don't even have a concept of Israel, start getting a concept. You know, go to CUFI, CUFI.org, Christians United for Israel, and they have things to educate you. You know, go to the Jerusalem Post and start getting and reading the Jerusalem Post. You know, we've been praying for several years now for Israel,
mm-hmm.
but specifically, you know, that God would protect and bless Israel. And we've partnered and had a chance to, you know, build a relationship right. with Avi Mizrahi and mm-hmm. and his ministries that are there in Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. And, and you know, you want to do more, but, you know, it's the fact is that obviously God's the one that's going to save the Jews.
Right.
He's going to save Israel, but he wants us to be a witness as our kindness to them. And you remember we're talking with Avi,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and had a chance to be able to repent for what's being said in our nation,
yeah.
you know, about Israel. And my heart was just so broken, you know, and he was so gracious, you know.
Yeah, he was.
And one thing he said was the same things that Benjamin Netanyahu's saying now, that they know that the Christian people,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Christians are for, you know, despite our government seemingly not to be for Israel, the
right.
our government being anti-Semitic,
mm-hmm.
that the people, they know that the people of America is for them. So find out about your state. We're going to keep on listening because you're going to find out Germany, you know, obviously who persecuted the Jews, but how their children's children responded to it. Now God's blessing Germany. Listen up.
For instance, Canada has done some pretty good things in reference to Israel recently.
God sent me to Canada with a tallit. I had a double tallit from Israel.
And a prayer shawl.
A prayer shawl. And he said a new prayer mantle needed to come across Canada. This was 5 years ago. He said, you start in Vancouver. I gave it to David Damien. He took it all the way across Canada. The government changed in this May issue. Canada stood and said, we will stay focused and aligned with the nation of Israel. They unequivocally said, we are aligned with the God of Israel, and this nation will be aligned.
And you know, curses can change. For instance, take Germany. Germany was under a horrible curse. Look what happened to them.
The worst curse that the world has ever
known. 6 million Jews. But now they're being blessed. Why?
Well, they've made proclamation. First of all, they went back and they restored wealth back to Israel that had been taken from people. Wealth that they had documented was sent back. Then they have made the statement, we will align with Israel as opposed to other nations that are anti-Israel.
What did God show you about China?
God showed me that China is going to be our most influential nation. Now, China, yes, is
this
a...
This is so important, because when you're looking at China and you're seeing the condition that they're in, and they're losing their double-digit growth in their economy, you're going to see them begin to do things. And you would think, because they're involved in Syria right now with Russia and and what's going on, but it prophetically what he's saying is that China will, for a season, stand with Israel, which is huge.
Wow.
That is just huge. And so you're looking at, because we're talking about the power shifting, you know, from the West to the East, you know, and we're talking about, I think Friedman's book, The World is Flat, and we've been talking about how, you know, economy is just all going to shift. And that would be, definitely a key ingredient that would say that China would be the most powerful nation, you know, 1.2 billion people.
Right.
And then now they're going to support Israel and stand with Israel for a season.
Wow.
Is that not wild?
That's amazing.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen up.
Wealth back to Israel that had been taken from people, wealth that they had documented was sent back. Then they have made the statement, we will align with Israel as opposed to other nations that are anti-Israel.
What did God show you about China?
God showed me that China is going to be our most influential nation. Now, China, yes, is a communist nation, and we all know that. But what China will do is...
Well, looks like we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back in just one moment to hear what God is saying about China. We'll be right back. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began... You know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats. to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym, and they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like,
it's,
man.
That's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. And I'm like, this ain't working, man. You know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's gonna encourage me where there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe VFNTV.com, become a subscriber. You get more content, you get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com, become a subscriber.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and Steve Kalaszewski. We're talking about China, how prophetically Chuck Pierce is sharing with Sid Roth about how China is going to join with join with Israel and be supportive for a season. This is amazing. Listen up.
I'll show you about China.
God showed me that China is going to be our most influential nation. Now, China, yes, is a communist nation, and we all know that. But what China will do is it will have the greatest movement toward Israel. Economically, it will align with Israel. It will align with Israel for a season, now for a season, and get military technology from Israel. It will have an incredible alignment. That is going to cause China. And when God showed me this in 86, I said by 2016, China becomes the most incredible economic power in the world. IMF said it would be 2032. They have come back 3 months ago and said it will be 2016.
They should have checked with you.
Well, they should have checked with God, I tell you.
Okay, now, you talk a great deal about we, the believers, in this country, as we see things getting so.
I think it's important, too, to let you know what the Lord has shown us, that the gate has been opened, the doorway has been opened to China. Mm. I mean, God gave us a couple of confirmations, and
yeah,
I've been running from China, like, no, it's tough enough. And it's like, you know, I went into a time of sabbatical, and I was going literally in the wilderness to just go seek God.
Mm-hmm.
And God sent Yulong.
Mm-hmm.
Right there to meet me, you know, right. From China in the right. Wilderness in America. It was amazing.
Yep.
He just happened to be in America for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is God. I mean, God is, get out your Mandarin books. It's time, or your app. Is there an app for that? There's an app for that.
But there's got to be an app for that.
But listen to what he goes on to say. We'll close this out. Listen up.
We see things getting so decadent that our spirit is going to be vexed. Explain that.
See, the environment around you, the atmosphere around you, like Lot, righteous Lot's spirit was vexed. The atmosphere around you can vex your spirit, man. That causes it to be annoyed and controlled by the environment around you, conformed by the environment around you. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that. And so what I see happening is you have a choice, and I see Christians coming into an understanding of the concept of where we began, one new man, God's plan of fullness, Jew and Gentile, and a triumphant remnant rising up with their spirit man free. The spirit of man will withstand its infirmity. That's what the Word of God says. And all those things that are attempting to weaken us, we rise up and we become a remnant with a voice that is powerful, doing supernatural exploits, as Daniel 12 says.
I'll tell you what, I'm just getting so excited as I hear him share what's about ready to happen. It's going to be the worst time in the history of planet Earth and the best time in the history of believers. But Chuck, there's something separating people from the blessing that you and your family received, that I've received, that my family has received, and that is there is a curse of anti-Semitism. Lead us briefly.
This is important, Bora. We're going to we want to hear this prayer, you know, to being led in a prayer, repenting for anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that this is what we've been preparing everyone for. This is it. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the greatest time, you know, the church has probably ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Great power, great exploits for the king and his kingdom and the advancement. But listen, we got to follow God. We have to deal with these things that are taking place. You know, do what the Father says at the time he says to do it. And understand his will come to pass in your life and your state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we see some prophetic things about the Southwest, California, that it's going to be major over there in California. For our listeners in California, begin to write your legislature, begin to do what's going on. But, you know, like Rick Joyner said, you know, unless God's given you a word to stay, I would move. I would slide out. I would just, you know, go visit some other states for a while. Does he ever give an advice like that before. But now at this point, you normally say, you know, pray and see if God wants you to move out. But you definitely probably want to go ahead. If God may tell you you're supposed to stay and speak and deliver what's supposed to. But if you are there, you know, Rick Joyner says you need to get a word that tells you to stay, not mm-hmm. to go, because you need to go. But let's listen up. We need to pray this prayer.
To repent for any anti-Semitism we have as individuals.
Now, all of you out there that's listening, you have to understand he is the father of our spirits. No matter what your bloodline is, no matter what your bloodline has done, you can bring your blood under the Father of your spirit, and your blood can be cleansed by his spirit. I decree right now in the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the one who came to shed his blood, that your blood will be set free of anti-Semitic rules. Where you have resisted the prophetic, you will start hearing God in a new way. Where you have come against and tried to dominate and manipulate others, you will begin to love others in a way you've never loved them. I decree that anti-Semitism will not rule you.
Yes.
And a hatred for the God of Israel, who had created a firstborn nation and made covenant with
yes.
them so we would understand the covenant of God. You will start now understanding the covenant of God. I repent on behalf of American mindset, and I say now our minds will begin to change and know God's covenant plan and his blessing and take a stand on that behalf.
Awesome. Totally awesome. Well, God bless. We are at the end of the extra hour. What a wonderful time that we've had. Man, God is letting us know what's going on. Be prepared. Find out more at VFNTV.com. Go watch VFNTV and get informed. Share it with your friends. Like us on Facebook. And don't forget 24/7 VFN Radio. And we'll see you live tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central. God bless.